The day after Yom Kippur is referred to B'Shem Hashem, in the name of Hashem, and it is basically a very spiritual day. It is a day that we come out from Yom Kippur, and it's considered a pure day. A day that the Talmud mentions that there was a certain sage who would bring a sacrifice for almost every day in the year. Maybe he sinned, but for this day he didn't bring. He says the impression of Yom Kippur is still left and remained on the day of the 11th of Tishrei, which is referred to B'Shem Hashem, Hashem's name. The 4 days between Yom Kippur and Sukkot reflects to the four letters of the same Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. There's Eibishter's name, Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, the four letters, so that actually reflects the Aesis of Hashem's name. The Rebbe would go to the Eyal one of the days, at least one of the days between Kippur and Sukkot. One of the days that the Rebbe went every year was the 13th of Tishrei, which is basically the day of the Yom Ha'ilula today. It's the Yom Ha'ilula, the anniversary of the passing of the Rebbe Marash. The Rebbe Marash was nostalgic in the year late 1882, which is Tofrish Mem Gimel, so it's over 140 years. And this is, today is the day, he was the fourth Rebbe of Chabad, and he's known as the Baal HaMaimer, the famous Pisgam that he would say, L'chatchil HaRiber, that when a person needs to overcome a certain challenge, he doesn't start from under and then goes over, but he originally starts from over, at the outstart, to aim for the high. The Rebbe, in later years, when the Rebbe became 70, was already in the, so in the next half a year later, the Rebbe began to fabring every year on the evening of Yud Gimel Tishrei, tonight, the night before Erev Sukkot, the Rebbe would fabring every year, he would say a maimer. The maimer, the discourse would be based on the maimer of the Rebbe Marash, speaking about the four, especially the four different minim that we take for Sukkot, and also the Sukkot itself. And he would speak siches. He would. There were directives in regards to going, visiting Yidden in different places, in different cities, different suburbs, to bring the joy there for them, the Simchas Beis HaShoeiva. Okay, going on further, the Yud Gimel Tishrei is the date that the Rebbe would fabring, and this went on from 1972, late 72, till 1987. Rebbe Fabreng, year after year on this day, this was a very special day by the Rebbe, and this was the springboard, the start off of ushering in the Yom Tov of Sukkot, what Sukkot represents, and how the Rebbe explained it in many different ways, in Maimorim, in Sichas, etc. B'negeya to Erev Sukkot, it was a busy day by the Rebbe. Number one, there were different groups of Yidden who would bring the Rebbe Esregim. They would bring an Esregim from Italy, which is traditionally Chabad, takes Dafke from Calabria, Dafke from Italy. This is traditionally traced back to the Alter Rebbe. The Alter Rebbe once said, and the Rebbe Rashab repeated it every year in the first night of Sukkot, that when the Eibishter told, when the Almighty told Moshe Rabbeinu to put together Lekachtem Lechem Pri Eitz Hodor, you should take an Esreg, a Lulav, Hadasim, Arovis, which are willows, and he says they sent Shluchim, Azidalash and Shluchim, with clouds to Italy, to Calabria. And that's why it's traditional by us that from year to year, all the Rabbeim, up till the Rebbe, the Pashit would always prefer from Italy. The Rebbe also would receive Esregim from Eretz Yisrael. The Esregim from Eretz Yisrael, the Rebbe would use, but not for the Brocha. but only for Nanuyim. In other words, the Rebbe would shake the lulav from Italy, Calabria, and also the lulav from Etzrol, he would only shake. Mashenkin, the lulav of the Esrik of Italy, the Rebbe would make the bracha on it, and would be yetzer the bracha, and would shake the lulav, do the lanuim with the lulav on that esrik. This was customary, it seems like, also by the previous Rebbe, and the Rebbe kept it up. There was basically one inyan b'negeah to the groups of chassidim who brought the Rebbe esregim. A second inyan which took place erev Sukkos was that the Rebbe distributed esregim to a group of chassidim, which the Rebbe listed them, mainly had shluchim in different countries. Certain rabbanim that came from Eretz Yisrael, as orchim, there were about 15 people on the list, that they would receive from the Rebbe the following: lulav, esrig, and hadassim. I'm not sure about aroves. There are videos today, pictures, how they're all laid out on the table in the Rebbe's hallway upstairs. The Rebbe would have a list. Many times you saw the Rebbe wearing glasses at that time, and he was just checking over the list, and whoever came in were basically mentioned on the list, that they were notified by the secretariat that they should come in to pick up their lulav, because the Rebbe is giving it to them as a gift. So it's basically something that these 15 chassidim were zeicha, they merited to receive from the Rebbe, and then the Rebbe would give them a bracha. Each one that went in, number one, he needed to choose for himself. The Rebbe didn't just put down one esrig, one lulav, one hadassim. They needed to choose for themselves, each one individually. And the Rebbe was watching how these chassidim are choosing for themselves. And it's not an easy thing to choose an esrig in front of the Rebbe or choose a lulav. It's not an easy thing. It wasn't comfortable for them. Although they trusted the Rebbe that the Rebbe already chose this whole package of lulavim, esregim, etc. But nevertheless, they needed to do their job. And as they would walk out with all the different minim, the Rebbe would give them a bracha, that they should be mamshech all the amshachas, they should draw down all the inyanim that these inyanim need to accomplish, the blessings that these inyanim need to accomplish. And this is basically what took place erev Sukkos. The Rebbe would also give a general bracha to those who brought the esregim, a bracha to the kvutza, to the delegation, in addition also to the delegation of those who brought from Eretz Yisrael. So it's the ones that from, basically the ones from Eretz Yisrael, they're the ones that would receive a bracha, poshet, for the bringing the esregim. The Rebbe would be very particular to pay for the esrig before Yom Tov. Although, generally, by the previous Rebbe, it wasn't always before Yom Tov. Many times he paid after Yom Tov. There was an older chassid. Later he was an older chassid. When he was younger, he would travel to Italy in the 1940s, Rabbi Saul Jacobson, and he would bring an esrig for Friedrich Rebbe. And the Rebbe says that Friedrich Rebbe left Afka, not necessarily paid mamish on before Yom Tov. Why is this point made? The Rebbe says, because it says by an esrig that you have to own it. So since you have to own it, you have to pay for it. So Mela, therefore, the Rebbe was particular to pay before. Chal, the Rebbe was particular to pay for everything, right, COD. Masha'inkin, the Friedrich Rebbe, the Rebbe says, comes out that lahalocha, it doesn't really minimize it in any way, and a person could pay even after, and it's considered his. Because by esrik it says, ulkachtem lochem, you should take. It should become your property. The way it becomes your property is when you actually own it. Now going on to the days of Sukkos. The days of Sukkos, by the Rebbe, there were two different groups of days. They're the first days of Sukkos, the last days of Sukkos. The first days of Sukkos had different events happening over the years. And amongst them, there was also a Fabrengen and other things happening. So I'll speak first in regards to the earlier years, what took place by the Rebbe, and things that stopped later, and the Rebbe put in other things. included other things that the Rebbe established in later years. In general, there was a big sukkah, which is still built in 770, for the Elam, for the crowd, in order to be able to eat there, guests. In addition to that, the sukkah was also for the Rebbe to be able to fabreng. The Rebbe fabrenged in the sukkah on the second day sukkah, so therefore there was a need to make a big sukkah. There were many minyanim that davened there later because it was more spacious, and a lot of benches were moved out from the shul into the sukkah. That took place over the years. And then came the second day sukkahs, the Rebbe would fabreng. The Rebbe would actually come into the sukkah, wash his hands for Hametzi. He would sit down, he would fabreng for a few hours. It was the end of the second day. Like this year, it would be Sunday evening. Sunday sunset time. The Rebbe would be sitting facing Eastern Parkway, with the back to the Tashlich, facing Eastern Parkway, and the whole Elam was facing the Rebbe. So the Rebbe was by the end of the sukkah, as far as he can go, and that was where the Rebbe's platform was. And the Rebbe came in, he washed, he delivered a maimer, a discourse, and he delivered a few siches. Then the Rebbe benched, the Rebbe davened ma'ariv, made havdalah, the Rebbe himself made havdalah, and then the Rebbe distributed keshel bracha. Keshel bracha is basically from the wine on which he benched and he made havdalah. So there was a lines of people. It was this was actually the second keshel bracha in the year. The first one was the end of Rosh Hashanah. The issue that was taking place in the sukkah, and for that very reason, the Rebbe stopped fabrenging in the sukkah after 20 years, was because there was a lot of pushing. The reason there was pushing were two reasons. Number one, the space. It's not as big as a shul. Number two, it was hard to hear the Rebbe because when a person is talking in the sukkah, the schach absorbs the voice, but the sound, but you can't hear. It's very hard to hear from a distance. In shul, at least there is an echo, there is something from the walls that helps us hearing the Rebbe. Here it wasn't shayich, it was very, unless somebody stood very close. The Mela, when it was in such a situation, there was a need for pushing. I mean, naturally, everybody wanted to hear, everybody wanted to see. Akoponim, it was in Tafshin Lamet, late 1969. There was a table that fell then as a result of pushing, a result of sinking, whatever it was, fell on someone and got very hurt. And the Rebbe said after that, he's no longer fabrenging in the sukkah because it is dangerous. And from then on, the Rebbe never fabrenged with Hasidim in the sukkah. We're going on now to later years, what took place, sukkahs, the first day sukkahs. In later years, the first day sukkahs, after the Rebbe stopped the fabrengen, about 10 years later, it was a year of Hakel, Tafshim Mem Aleph, late 1980, and the Rebbe then started to speak sikhas every night after Ma'ariv. I remember the first night, this was 42 years ago, 43 years ago, it was a total surprise. Everybody worked the whole day with the sukkahs, with the grave, preparing for the Yom Tov. All of a sudden, the Rebbe speaking. The whole place ran to the front in the shul. After Ma'ariv, the first night, nobody expected it. One night, a second night, a third night, kept on for 12 years. Every year, the Rebbe spoke every night of sukkahs until Hishayne Rabbe. What did the Rebbe speak about? The Rebbe spoke about the Ushpizin. The Ushpizin are the guests who come into the sukkah, the guests who are mentioned in the Zayar, and the guests who are the Chassidish guests. We have the seven guests who are in the Zayar, Avrom, Yitzchak, Yankev, Meisha, Aaron, Yosef, David. Then we have the Chassidish guests who are the Baal Shem Tev, Magid, the Alter Rebbe, the Mittel Rebbe, Tzemach Tzedek, Rebbe Marash, the Rebbe Rashab. The Rebbe Rashab is Hashayne Rabbe, the seventh, And Friedrich Rebbe was the one who gave it over to us. So this is where it stopped. The Rebbe in later years continued that Shmini Atzeres is the Friedrich Rebbe's day. And Chassidim of our generation would say that, and still say it, that Simchas Torah is the Rebbe's day. Because we saw the revelation of the Rebbe then, the Simcha, the joy, it was like higher than limitation, was Simchas Torah. Now, the sichas that the Rebbe gave after Ma'ariv were not recorded, of course, because it was Yom Tov. Sometimes it could have been two nights, and then the third night, as after Yom Tov, we can record it. Sometimes, when Sukkot fell out Wednesday night, so there was a Thursday, there was a Friday, and there was a Wednesday night, a Thursday night, and a Friday night. Three nights of sichas that you couldn't write. So he was constantly reviewing it till we wrote down. After Shabbos, everybody was responsible, sat down and wrote it down. So, and it was sometimes difficult because the sichas were about 40 minutes long, and there were many loose words, single words, few words here, there, that sometimes a person lost the connection. What is the connection with before or after? And they even sometimes lost tab of those few words because it just fell out of mind. But everybody was mobilized for that. Many, many people who also contributed. And they were written up as much as possible, as good as possible. Okay, this is all the first day's Sukkot. Now, something that this year we are at the 70th anniversary is Mifza Lulav. The Rebbe, through Rabbi Chodakov, initiated a new campaign, Mifza Lulav, to enable people who did not have the opportunity to make a bracha on the Lulav, on the Minim, to go out in the streets and speak with these people. These people were sitting on Eastern Parkway, all Yidden. The whole neighborhood was all Yidden, up till Atlantic Avenue. You can walk in any direction in the middle of the night, and you didn't have what to be concerned about. Not even a first thought of what to be concerned about. It was all Yidden, and Bemela, these Yidden, older, old-timers would sit on the benches, and it was full. Women would drive the babies in Eastern Park with the carriages from Rochester till the park. Everything was mama. This was till the mid-60s. So, Koponim, many people benched Lulav thanks to the Rebbe's campaign. And later, now, I mean, it's still going, and every year it's being reinstated again and repeated, reaching out to people in the streets, reaching out to people in the parks, in hospitals, in prisons, giving them the opportunity to make a bracha on the Lulav and the Minim. This is basically what took place in the first days by the Rebbe over the years. Now we go on to Chalamed. Chalamed basically was a low-key time. There weren't any Fabrengens Chalamed. But there was one day that the Rebbe would Fabreng every year up till Tovshin Chavdalet, late 1963. The Fabrengen was called Simchas Beis HaSheva. The Rebbe would Fabreng in the Sukkah. He did not wash, but he Fabrengd after Ma'ariv, and the Fabrengen went on for hours. This Fabrengen was unique also because many Talmidim, students of non-Lubavitcher schools, would come to this Fabrengen. They lived in the area, they didn't have any yeshiva, and they heard there's a Fabrengen, a mesiba, a party, a gathering, so they would come. And that's when the Rebbe would many times give over messages that also were relevant for them, and especially learning Chassidus, v'cholo, the Rebbe would mention things which relate to them. And as mentioned, that stopped Tovshin Chavdalet, which is late 1963. The next year, officially, officially the reason is the next year the Rebbe became an oval for his mother. The Rebbe Tzinchana was Nifter then, the next year of Tishrei, and therefore the Rebbe stopped the Fabrengens of Beis HaSheva, and that was it. He never resumed again a year later. That's how it remained, that Fabrengen fell out of the calendar. In total, the Rebbe Fabrengt, actually this Fabrengen began, historically speaking, from the first year that the Rebbe was here in the United States, late 1941. The Rebbe already Fabrengt, this was a Fabrengen that the Rebbe would Fabrengt with the Tamidei Yeshiva, the students, already from 1941. That's about 8-9 years before the Rebbe assumed leadership. This was a Fabrengen, this and Shabbos Mevorchim, which was a request from the previous Rebbe. The Rebbe did already before the Nisius. Later years, as mentioned, the Rebbe would urge that people should travel to different places to be mesameach yidden, bring joy to people who are in small communities, in small suburbs, in cities around New York. Sometimes upstate New York, like to go to Buffalo, for example, or to Albany, which is a good 3-4 hour drive. There was one year the Rebbe said that they should take along a delegate from Eretz Yisrael and a delegate from Russia. That the Yidden who are sitting there and living there should see what it looks like, a Yid that just came out of Russia, and a Yid who's from Eretz Yisrael. The Mele, it'll represent all the different communities, all the different backgrounds. As mentioned, that from in Tavshem Memalev, the Rebbe started to speak every night of Sukkah, so that continued in Chalamed also. So it went on until Eshayin Rabbe every year for 12 years. Late 1980 till late 1991. This was the Seder. He would speak Sichas every night. There was one year the Rebbe, many years, that he described the connection between the regular Ushpizin and the Ushpizin of the Zayar, and one from Chassidus. There were other years that he spoke about the opposites between them. There was one year the Rebbe chose to speak how the opposites between the two in their personal life, Avram and the Baal Shem Tov, Yitzchak and the Maggid, Yankiv and the Alter Rebbe. So the Rebbe really brought out in a very interesting, colorful way the different aspects of the Ushpizin, how they are compared to each other and how they're opposites of each other. The Rebbe would connect it with the Shir Chumash of the day of Sukkot. The Rebbe would connect with a vort from the Ushpizin, not just comparing to the Chassidish Ushpizin and the Zeah, but a vort of the Ushpizin on Sukkot, a word from the Ushpizin, from the Maggid, etc. And later years, the Rebbe started to discuss, connected also with the Rambam that we're learning that day, that began in 84. So 3 years later already, 4 years later, they started to, the Rebbe made mention of the Rambam and connecting it all together as one. So this was basically a Sicha which went for about 40 minutes, maybe sometimes less, and the Rebbe would be standing at his place after Maariv, facing the Elam, and that's something that repeated itself every night for 12 years. Now, in the evening of Tavshem Memalev, that first time it began, which is late 1980, the Rebbe then spoke about the union of joy. And that the joy is not enough, it's limited, but it has to overpour. It has to pour over all the boundaries. And that is when a few older chassidim were walking the street and they decided to start dancing in the street. Like Simchas Torah, we see sometimes chassidim dancing to Yisrael Berl. Beis HaSheva, we didn't see it. They started to dance in the street. And then Bacharim came, also, they felt Fabrengen's inside is not what the Rebbe wants. The Rebbe wants the streets. And that's where the Simchas Beis HaSheva on Kingston and Montgomery started. It started 43 years ago. On that corner, that's where the older chassidim were dancing, and later it involved everybody, the whole community, and now you have already also people coming from other communities. When the Rebbe heard that they're dancing in the street, the Rebbe was very pleased with it. The Rebbe made mention of it by Fabrengen. Amedav Zen, to make sure that the street dances along. And the Rebbe says to make sure the police dance with them. It was very, very strong words about the union of the dancing. That I was very pleased with it. This was like higher than all limitations. Even the night that we say Tilim, Eshane Rabbe, the Rebbe said, at least, since there's no time, we have to say Chomish Dvarim, we say Tilim. The Rebbe said, at least 18 minutes. Hilach Mil, to dance 18 minutes and finished. So the 18 minutes usually was in front of 770, but in later years they started to do it at Montgomery till 12 o'clock at night, in the morning, to 12:30, and that's when they go to 770. Now we go on to Heshaina Rabbe. Heshaina Rabbe is the final day. It's called Gemar Simateva. This is basically why it's called the final seal, a final day for the sealing for a good year, a good and sweet year. And therefore there are many tefillas, many prayers then. We have seven Heshainas. We walk around seven times the bima, and then there is a lot of tefillas to say, additional prayers. And then in addition to that, we have also Heshainas, clapping the Heshainas. Heshainas, it's a very auspicious day. This is the final seal of Yom Kippur is done. After davening, which the Rebbe finished about 12 o'clock, the Rebbe would distribute lekach for those who did not receive an Erev Yom Kippur. Basically, guests who have arrived after Yom Kippur, they would receive lekach on Heshaina Rabbe. The Rebbe would give each one a bracha, like he gave at every Yom Kippur. He would say, Shana Tevom Sukkah, good and sweet year. Here, the Rebbe would say, I was never on that line, but pastors, he would say, Gmach Simateva or something. What happened, Vaiter? This went on for hours, then the women went. And sometimes it took away time from the Rebbe going home to eat, because it was the Suda, Heshaina Rabbe, the line was big, and eventually they gave the line stopped, and the Rebbe went home, then he came back for Yom Tov, for Shemina Atzeres Simchas Torah. Speaking about the Inyan of Heshaina Rabbe brings to mind something else, which actually began on Sukkot itself, and that is the first day Sukkot. Already from the beginning years of the Rebbe's Nesios, the Rebbe would give out his lulav that people could make a brocha on the lulav, on the Dalet Minim. The Rebbe himself would sit in the sukkah, his private sukkah, which was and is built every year, actually was built this year already, in front of 770. The Rebbe would sit, watch everybody come in, and would say to each one, Matana manas lahachzer, it's a gift on the condition to give back, because whatever. It's not that you're taking from the Rebbe, you're using the Rebbe's, because then you're not Yetzel Lochem, it has to be yours. That's why the Rebbe would say, I'm giving it to you for a gift on the condition that you return it. Okay. Went on for years, until late 1961. It was then Rabbi Harlik, Oliver Sholem, he just passed away summer, he was called into the Rebbe. And the Rebbe told him, I'm going to ask you if you could take care of it, so it'll spare me time, and I won't have to sit and wait till the line goes through. Those years it wasn't such a big line, but the Rebbe's time. So he would stand at in the big sukkah, and everyone would pass by and would make a bracha on the lulav. He would stand till the time that the Rebbe reached Chazoras Hashatz, that the Chazan is already by Shachris repeating the Shemir Esrei, which meant that the Rebbe is soon going to need his lulav. So he immediately then went into 770 downstairs and brought the Rebbe the lulav while it's in the middle of Chazoras Hashatz, while the Chazan is davening. The Rebbe immediately would look at the point of the lulav, he would look at the Esrik, if everything is intact, and he would put it down, and then Hallel would begin. And after Shacharis Musaf, the Rebbe would again give out his lulav. The same thing took place, Heshaina Rabbe, by the women. The women had a schus to bench on the Rebbe's lulav that day, Heshaina Rabbe, and there was a line for that, and there was a line for Lekach, as mentioned. Okay, now we're going on to Shemina Atzeres Simchas Torah, and how much we would talk about it, it would be insufficient, especially to describe what we saw and what we heard in words. it was actually higher than time. And it was higher than limitations. The 48 hours, what we saw by the Rebbe, what was taking place was something unusual. It was revelations that gave Chassidim a keach for the whole year. And it is something which is being recalled by certain Chassidim. Some Chassidim remember the earlier years, some remember the later years. What I remember, which I mamish was watching from close, was actually already from the early 70s. The early 70s, actually from before, but this is when there were many Giluyim that remained with us in memory. Tovshin Lama Dalet is 50 years ago. It was then that the Yom Kippur War broke out, and it was then that the Rebbe, by Akofes, by one of the Akofes, in one of the evenings, the Rebbe took out a Siddur. He started to sing the Aderes Vamuna with the French anthem. The Rebbe asked the French national anthem. The Rebbe asked if to give a hakofa, to be mechabed, a certain hakofa for the Orchim from France. And then the Rebbe asked, are they all there? Yeah. The Rebbe took the Siddur, and he started took it close to the end of the Bima, and he started to sing Aderes Amunah with the French anthem. People from here, people from other countries had no idea what was going on. Even the ones coming from France didn't chapuf what was going on till it dawned on them, maybe one told another, they started to jump to the sky. It's like they never heard this. The Rebbe singing their French anthem, Aderes Amunah. Hakapanim, this was one of the Giluyim revelations 50 years ago. Tovshin Lamed Aleph. And this was on top of the war that the Rebbe spoke about, Simcha, joy. The Rebbe already predicted the war 4 months earlier and did all kinds of things to avoid the war through the children being nullifying all the decrees. And then came Vav Tishrei. The Rebbe made a siyum in honor of the Yahrzeit. And he chose a tractate, which he started to explain why he chose that tractate. A few reasons he gave. Masech Techala. Then came the war, Syria and Egypt, both of them together. And then came the Fabrengen, Yud Gimel Tishrei. And the Rebbe is speaking that Be'emes, it's like somebody, it's in the Rebbe's modesty, somebody prophesizing without knowing what he's saying. This is a choice of chassidim. We don't have to trust it. The Rebbe knew well what was going on. And the Rebbe then said, Bashgocha Prot is the conclusion of that tractate, Chala, speaks about Mitzrayim and about Syria. So the Rebbe originally already, everything was structured. So generally, the first night, Shemini Atzeres, every year, they would have Maariv on time, like at 7 o'clock, whenever, and then about 9 o'clock would be Atoresa. The Rebbe would come into Atoresa, the Hakofes, 7 Hakofes. The Rebbe would receive the first Hakofa and the 7th Hakofa. Sefer Teri would dance with his brother-in-law, the Rashag, Shari Goraria, and then after that, about a quarter to 11, the Elam went home. Some people already made Kiddush between Maariv and Atoresa, and some made Kiddush after, ate the Suda after. The second day, the second evening, was basically the big night. And today they call it all-nighter. Some in a few years they'll have a new word for it in the American lexicon language. Akoponim, it was basically all-nighter. But just to mention something before, in the morning, Shemini Atzeres in the morning, there's Yisker. Yisker is basically for someone that, in other words, let's put it the positive. Those that have both parents don't say Yisker. But those that don't need to go out. The Rebbe waited till they actually closed the door behind them. They put a towel, they put a this, they put a that. The Rebbe didn't go for it. The Rebbe was watching. I remember one year I witnessed it. They're watching till they close the door behind them, then the Rebbe began saying Yisker. Turn to the Siddur. It was like a special, there was a very particular, not even to put something between, but just to close the door behind them. But a person should not be in shul when Yisker is said if a person has both parents. The second night was the big night. The Rebbe would have Ma'ariv about 7. About 8:30 or 9, there were different settings, different years. The Rebbe Fabrengt. This Fabrengt was a warm-up for Hakofis. So you have like this, 9 o'clock, all the shuls and Kronites already made Hakofis. The only one that didn't make Hakofis, the Rebbe. When was Hakofis? You'll see further. The Rebbe Fabrengt till 12 a.m. Then there was a break, an intermission, to change the shul from Fabrengt mode to a Hakofis mode. It's like 10 miracles in the Beis Hamikdash what took place there. It was you have thousands of people roaming around. Benches are flying everywhere. It was mamish, it was sakonis. Okay, the Rebbe Shtagol from later, they started to lock the shul, and people got food outside. It was in later years. In the early years, we didn't have any food. From 7 in the evening in a Flatbush shul, made kiddush there, came to the Rebbe's Fabrengen. From Fabrengen, we went to Hakofis. Hakofis was 1 in the morning. About 2:30, 3 o'clock, we came home. That's when we ate Sudas Yom Tov, 3 a.m. My wife once invited someone, a journalist, to come 3 a.m. She asked her, 3 o'clock, 3 a.m.? No, 3 a.m. She didn't show up. She thought, Pashit, we're wild. Akoponim, it could be, I think that we think she came the next day, which also we were in shul. And really, Simchas Torah is really not a day for B'chol Eifem. There were many different things happening. One Fabrengen, the Rebbe once before Hakofis said that Yidden should bench each other, Birchas Keanim. During the intermission, we see each other, Birchas Keanim. Everybody, not just Keanim. Everybody should bench each other. So, Nochanan, Chavru, we're going to each other. Vaydaber Hashem, Yivorechecha, Esitzchob Gitana. It's 1 year that. There's one time they asked the Rebbe, they were like implying that the Rebbe should announce the Elam should walk out from shul in order to make order in shul. The Rebbe says, I never send a Yid out of shul. He didn't want to do it, so it was left for the Gaboyim to do. The Hakofis, everything went again with the Rashag, the Rebbe's brother-in-law. And there were many revelations. People spoke to the Rebbe, like people who had a kiddush from the Rebbe, asked questions. People said, L'chaim, the second night you can already eat in the shul. And there was one person said to the Rebbe, this person is drinking mashke, 86 proof. So he asked the Rebbe, what does it symbolize in spiritually? So the Rebbe said that it's the gematria, the numerical value of the word Shem Elikim, which means Hateva. And then he tells the Rebbe, this person is drinking 96 proof, which is Mamish, the most extreme. So the Rebbe says 96 is the numerical value of Shem Keil and Shem Adne. 31 and 65 is 96. Which means to say that Lav Davka, the one who made the vodka in Russia, knew what he was doing with these kavones. But basically, the Rebbe showed how everything is... But this was an occasion by Hakofis. There was a person who was there from Berlin. The Rebbe went to Hakofis, and the Rebbe said, you should make Berlin Lubavitch. 10 minutes later, the Rebbe comes back after Hakofis, and this guy is still standing there on the entrance of the Ches area. And the Rebbe says, 10 minutes have passed. What did you do about it? The next morning, he's still standing there again. The Rebbe says, 12 hours have passed. What did you do about it? 14 hours. The Vorti is, he went late into Yechidus. He was not Lubavitch, but he did a lot, Poshit, for the Rebbe. And he passed away a few years ago, but he was a Poshit, a Kiruvim that the Rebbe gave him. The dancing by Ato Reisa, when the Rebbe, after every Ato Reisa, the Rebbe would begin singing a nigun, the Rebbe would mamish be hopping on his feet. Sometimes the clapping, the energy, the Rebbe should be sweating. There was the air conditioner, but it was a mist, sometimes a special mist coming up from the whole Elam that we were able to see from the room. They once had a big pressure thing to go in, to blow in air into 770. So the Rebbe once went out from Hakofis, and the Rebbe said, Daloi Golos, The Rebbe says, Golus should finish. The Rebbe said it three times. And then the Rebbe said, Gut Yomtev three times. It was a 1 year the Rebbe said, Daloi Golus three times. The Rebbe then the next day morning again hack office, and again some people spoke with the Rebbe. The Rebbe encouraged the same to make Kiddush in Shul, Saman Mashke. And then at the end of the Yom Tov, towards the end of the Yom Tov, the Rebbe would come in to wash for a Fabrengen, a 6-hour Fabrengen. 6 hours, and then Kishel Bracha, another 3 hours. So the Rebbe came down for about 10 hours. This is after 2 days, dancing and singing and clapping. And a Yid in the 70s and 80s. This is Pesach L'mayla Mateva. We saw on the Rebbe's face at the end of the Simchas Torah, you saw it on the video, it was possibly like completely drained. And then the Rebbe refreshed himself in a small way. The next day the Rebbe went to the Eyal. But this was basically a glimpse, a taste of what Simchas Torah meant by the Rebbe. The Rebbe says, I hope that we should see it this year.